Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose Masterforce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from Masterforce today. Check out all our Masterforce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the History AI Podcast, where the past comes alive with facts, anecdotes, and a dash of humor. Here are your hosts, Chuck and Marco.
Hey there, history buffs. Welcome back to another episode of the History AI Podcast. I'm Chuck.
And I'm Marco. Happy 4th of July to all our American listeners. Nothing says holiday like a dive into a Civil War siege, right?
Fireworks, hot dogs, and high-stakes 19th-century military strategy. What more could you want?
If you're tuning in for the first time, hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And if you've been with us a while, don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. Seriously, it helps more than you'd think.
It's like the artillery support of the podcast world. It clears the way for more awesome history content. Okay, today we're diving into one of the most decisive campaigns of the American Civil War, the Battle of Vicksburg. A siege that lasted over 40 days and split the Confederacy in two.
That's right. While Gettysburg gets a lot of the Civil War spotlight, Vicksburg might have been just as important, if not more. It was the key to controlling the Mississippi River.
And as they say, whoever controls the Mississippi controls the flow of goods, troops, and bourbon.
Truer words have never been spoken. So, let's rewind the clock to early 1863. The Union High Command is getting antsy. The Confederates still control Vicksburg, which sits on high bluffs overlooking a crucial bend in the Mississippi River. That elevation makes it nearly impregnable from the riverside and a nightmare for any attacking force.
And Vicksburg wasn't just a military target, it was a lifeline. Holding it allowed the Confederacy to maintain communication and supply routes between the eastern and western parts of their territory. Lose it, and the Confederacy is effectively cut in half.
Union General Ulysses S. Grant knew this. He had already tried a series of indirect tactics in late 1862 and early 1863. One involved digging a canal across the neck of the river's bend, hoping to bypass Vicksburg's guns entirely. That effort failed miserably. Floods, disease, and mud ruined the attempt.
He also tried to approach from the north and northeast, but Confederate defenders were dug in, and the Yazoo River terrain made movement incredibly difficult. Grant's men got bogged down, literally, and morale sank.
But Grant wasn't one to give up. In a move that surprised even his own officers, he shifted south. With support from Admiral David Dixon Porter's naval forces, Grant coordinated a daring night run of gunboats past the Vicksburg batteries in April 1863. It was incredibly risky. Confederate guns pounded the river, but several boats made it through.
With those vessels providing cover, Grant ferried his army across the Mississippi at Bruinsburg, south of Vicksburg, on April 30th. And here's the bold part, he cut his supply lines. That's right, he marched into enemy territory with no secure logistics chain, relying entirely on capturing Confederate stockpiles and foraging.
It was a gamble, but it paid off. In rapid succession, Grant won the Battle of Port Gibson on May 1st. That opened the door to central Mississippi. Over the next 2 weeks, his army engaged in a lightning campaign, defeating Confederate forces at Raymond on May 12th and seizing Jackson, the state capital, on May 14th. That move severed Vicksburg from potential reinforcements coming from the east.
Then he turned his focus west, back toward Vicksburg. On May 16, Grant met Pemberton's army at Champion Hill, the largest and most significant battle of the campaign. Grant's aggressive assault shattered the Confederate lines. The very next day, he defeated them again at the Big Black River Bridge.
By May 18, the Union army had encircled Vicksburg from the east and south. Grant attempted two direct assaults, on May 19 and again on May 22, but both were repelled with heavy casualties. Realizing the city's defenses were too strong, he shifted to siege tactics.
Grant's campaign is a textbook example of operational maneuver warfare, marching over 180 miles, winning five battles in 17 days, and isolating a critical enemy stronghold. The Confederacy was on the back foot, and Grant had them exactly where he wanted.
It was now a waiting game. By May 18, 1863, Vicksburg was surrounded. Grant's army of over 70,000 men dug in around the city, forming a ring of entrenchments and artillery that stretched for miles. Union engineers constructed complex networks of trenches, saps, and parallels, ever inching closer to the Confederate fortifications.
Inside the city, Confederate General John C. Pemberton commanded a garrison of about 30,000 troops. Supplies were already low. With Union forces blocking all land access and the Mississippi River patrolled by Union gunboats, there was no way in or out.
Civilian life quickly turned into a nightmare. Residents took shelter in hand-dug caves carved into the soft hillsides. These became known as prairie dog villages. As Union shells rained down day and night, people lived in these dank, dark caves, often with entire families crammed into tiny spaces.
And let's talk food, or the lack thereof. Horses, mules, dogs, and eventually rats made it onto dinner tables. Official Confederate rations dwindled to a few ounces of rice or peas per day. Starvation set in quickly, and hospital conditions deteriorated beyond belief.
Disease was rampant. Dysentery, malaria, and scurvy spread like wildfire through both the military and civilian population. There were no medical supplies, and surgeons worked in unimaginable conditions. One Confederate soldier described the smell in the hospitals as sickening to the core.
Union forces, meanwhile, kept tightening the noose. They dug ever closer to Confederate lines, planting explosives beneath enemy trenches. One notable explosion on June 25 blew a massive crater in the Confederate defenses, but the follow-up assault stalled in brutal hand-to-hand combat.
Morale inside Vicksburg hit rock bottom. Letters home revealed despair. Soldiers and civilians alike pleaded for relief, but none came. Jefferson Davis and Confederate High Command couldn't break the siege. Reinforcements were delayed, defeated, or turned back.
Meanwhile, Union troops remained disciplined and focused. Grant kept them supplied through the river and maintained pressure on the city without letting up. Every day brought more Union fire, more starvation, and fewer options for Pemberton.
It was psychological warfare as much as physical. The message was clear: surrender or perish. And by late June, that message was being heard loud and clear within the crumbling walls of Vicksburg.
And finally, on July 4, 1863, after 47 grueling days of siege, Confederate General John C. Pemberton formally surrenders Vicksburg to Ulysses S. Grant. The decision wasn't easy. Pemberton had delayed surrender as long as possible, holding out hope for relief from Confederate forces that never arrived.
And the timing was no coincidence. Pemberton, a northern-born officer serving the South, believed that surrendering on Independence Day might earn him more lenient terms. Grant, to his credit, offered generous conditions. Confederate soldiers would be paroled rather than imprisoned, allowed to return home if they promised not to take up arms again.
It was a pragmatic move. Grant knew that feeding and guarding tens of thousands of prisoners would be a logistical nightmare. By releasing them, he could focus on consolidating control over the river and planning future campaigns.
The fall of Vicksburg had immediate and far-reaching consequences. Strategically, it gave the Union complete control over the Mississippi River. That effectively cut the Confederacy in two, severing the Trans-Mississippi region, Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas, from the rest of the South.
The economic impact was devastating for the Confederacy. Supplies, troops, and communication lines were shattered. Confederate morale plummeted. combined with the Union victory at Gettysburg just one day earlier, the summer of 1863 marked a turning point in the war.
Abraham Lincoln reportedly exclaimed, "The father of waters again goes unvexed to the sea." That line captured the strategic triumph perfectly. It also solidified Grant's reputation as a brilliant commander, so much so that he was promoted to lead all Union armies within a year.
For the people of Vicksburg, however, the surrender marked the beginning of a long and painful chapter. The city was devastated, physically and psychologically. And in a symbolic gesture of lingering bitterness, Vicksburg would not officially celebrate the 4th of July again until World War II, more than 80 years later.
It's hard to overstate the importance of this campaign. The fall of Vicksburg didn't just change the course of the war, it changed the map, the momentum, and the morale on both sides.
A defining moment in the American Civil War, wrapped in the symbolism of the nation's birthday. Before we wrap things up, let's take a moment to talk about the people, those who fought, endured, and rose to the occasion during the Vicksburg campaign.
Absolutely. One of the most notable figures was Union engineer Andrew Hickenlooper. His expertise in trench warfare and siege engineering played a crucial role in positioning artillery and digging approaches that inched the Union line closer and closer to Vicksburg's defenses.
Then there's the story of Frederick Grant, yes, Ulysses S. Grant's son. He was just 13 and served as a courier for his father. Can you imagine being a teenager riding between artillery batteries during one of the most intense campaigns of the war?
On the Confederate side, we have General Stephen D. Lee, who commanded a key defensive sector and managed to hold the line against repeated assaults. Despite being outgunned and outnumbered, he orchestrated a stubborn resistance.
And among the everyday heroes were the African-American troops in the Union Army. The 1st Mississippi Infantry, later redesignated the 51st United States Colored Infantry, performed labor under fire, built fortifications, and proved their value.
There's also the poignant tale of Private Albert D.J. Cashier, who served in the 95th Illinois Infantry. Cashier was assigned to duty in the Vicksburg Campaign and fought bravely. But his story didn't become widely known until later in life, when it was discovered that he had been born female and lived his life as a man to serve in the army.
These stories remind us that beyond the generals and the grand strategies, history is made by individuals, by bravery, sacrifice, and resilience under the harshest conditions.
Vicksburg wasn't just a turning point in the war. It was a crucible of character where soldiers and civilians alike revealed their mettle.
So, Marco, after exploring all that, what stands out to you most about Vicksburg?
Honestly, it's the combination of strategy, suffering, and sheer determination. Grant's maneuvering was brilliant. He took risks that many thought were reckless, but he understood the bigger picture. And the siege itself? It was a reminder that war isn't just won on battlefields. It's won through endurance, pressure, and sometimes attrition.
For me, it's the human cost. The stories of the soldiers and civilians, living in caves, starving, watching their world collapse around them, those details bring history to life. Vicksburg wasn't just a military objective. It was home to thousands of people caught in the storm of war.
And the legacy is just as powerful. Grant emerged from Vicksburg as the Union's top general. The Confederacy was permanently divided. The war wasn't over, but the tide had turned.
If you take away anything from this episode, let it be this: history is more than dates and names. It's choices, risks, and the courage of individuals. Vicksburg is evergreen because it continues to teach us about resilience, leadership, and the cost of freedom.
As always, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, do us a favor, leave a 5-star review. It helps the podcast grow and reach more history lovers like you.
And share it with a friend. We've got new merchandise available too, t-shirts, mugs, and more. Just check the link in the show notes.
Got a topic you'd love to hear us tackle? Hit us up on social media. We're always looking for fresh ideas from fellow history nerds.
And remember, all our episodes are evergreen. That means you can revisit them anytime, because history never goes out of style.
Until next time, keep learning, stay curious, and celebrate the stories that made us.
Catch you later.
Down by the bend of the old muddy stream, where cannon smoke swallowed the soldier's dream. City stood proud on the bluff so high, but the bluecoats came and the shells did fly. Old Grant rode hard through the Delta rain, swore he'd break Vicksburg's iron chain. With the river locked tight and the South held fast, he marched round fire to strike at last. And the river ran dry, though the waters flow, with thunder above and the fields below. For 47 nights, the sky didn't sleep, as the mothers cried and the widows wept. And the stars looked down with a bloodshot eye on the day Vicksburg fell and the flags waved high. In trenches dug where the wild grass grew, boys from Dixie and from Maine stood true. With rations gone and the water foul, the hungry hearts began to howl. The rebels held on with their backs to the wall, till silence fell neath the mortar's call. Then Pemberton stood with a trembling hand and signed away the rebels' stand. And the river ran dry, though the waters flowed, with thunder above and the fields below. They broke the south from Vicksburg fell on July 4th, 63. And the stars looked down with a bloodshot eye on the day Vicksburg fell and the flags waved high. The price was paid in blood and bone, so the Union could bring her children home. And the river ran dry, though the waters rolled, with stories of courage and hearts grown old. It was freedom's fight on a southern hill, where time stands still and always will. And the stars looked down, shot eye on the day Vicksburg fell, and the flags waved high.